Northlands and Colel, share given on Sunday, 23rd of January 2011, Yud Ches Shvat, Toshin Ein Aleph, share on Tilim given by Gershon Hepner, and I'd like to give this share Le'ilu Nishmas, our good friend who was Nifta just a year ago, Sam Stalek, Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yaakov, whose Yotzat is tonight, whose Yotzat is on Yud Ches Shvat, Yotzat is tonight. You know, a man who was Moshe Nefesh, he had so many difficulties in life, he had Parnassah difficulties, he was very, very heavily dyslexic, and he worked extremely hard on himself in davening and reading and learning, and he didn't give up for anything. So, yeah, and he's got lovely children and grandchildren. Okay.
He lived in the Gaza Strip in the Gush.
I think it was called,
Gush Katif. He told me they were there about 5, 6, 7 years or so.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, wow. Very much the Talmud of Rabbi Cooper as well. He, you know, they brought the young children up here in Northampton, and then they moved to, and then they made Aliyah. When they came back, they came back to Northampton. Anyway, yeah.
They felt attached to the shore.
Very much so, yeah. We've been in Borumut for a while, and it's still davened here as often as he could. Yeah. Okay, right, so we're up to Perek Yud Zayin, and let's go from Pasuk Yud Aleph, which is Ashurenu Atos Vavunu. Yeah? You got that? Ashurenu Atos Vavunu. Yeah, you got that? Okay, you got that, Jonathan?
Yeah.
Okay. Ashurenu Atos Vavunu. David HaMelech is talking about the enemies of Klal Yisrael. Ashurenu, our footsteps, ato now sivavunu, they surround us. Einehem yoshisu, they place their eyes lintos ba'aretz, to stretch over the land.
Ashurenu is
footsteps. Yes, big surprise. I know that. Yeah, Ashurenu is footsteps. The English translation that's given in the Art Scroll is they now encircle our footsteps. So sivavunu is to surround, soviv, sivivon, yes, sivivon, a dreidel, yes, soviv is around. So they now encircle our footsteps, they fix their gaze to spread over the land. David's talking about the enemies of Klal Yisrael, and he's saying they're watching us, they keep a close watch on us, they're not prepared to let us get away with anything, they keep their eye on us very closely, waiting for an opportunity to attack, waiting for an opportunity to do some kind of damage.
Still the same now with Israel.
Yeah, of course.
Gaza, Hamas.
Yeah. We're not short of enemies.
Lebanon.
Yeah, we've never been short of enemies. Yeah. Okay, so Rashi explains that as this chapter is talking about the after effects of David taking Bathsheba, and we've spoken about David and Bathsheba almost every week on this chapter, as we're talking about the after effects of that, at that time, David's army were fighting in Rabbath B'nai Amon, which is quite far north, north and east of Eretz Yisrael, Rabbath B'nai Amon. Amon, of course, being a foreign nation. So Rabbath B'nai Amon, I think the town's name is Rabbah, but because it was a town that belonged to B'nai Amon, it's called Rabbath B'nai Amon, the Rabbah of B'nai Amon. And David was worried that, having now taken Bathsheba, he was worried that he had sinned, he'd done something wrong, and he was worried that his armies would therefore be overrun, and that indeed Eretz Yisrael would be overrun by enemies of Klal Yisrael as a punishment for his having taken Bathsheba. Rashi brings the various nations of whom he was scared: Pelishtim, Moab, Edom, and then he finishes off V'chol Shechene Eretz Yisrael, all the neighbors of Eretz Yisrael. David is worried that because I've taken in Bathsheba, and I shouldn't have done so, therefore we'll be attacked by our enemies. So therefore he's saying here about these enemies, Ashurenu Atosuvavunu, they're keeping a close eye on us, they're watching us carefully, waiting for an opportunity to attack. Einehem Yoshisu Lintos Ba'aretz, they place their eyes spreading out over the land, maybe they're spying on us, they're waiting for a moment to strike, the right moment to strike. Ibn Ezra points out that the Pasuk is written with a little bit of shorthand here, and he said that there's a word that's missing that could have been put in the Pasuk, and the word is im, ayin mem, with, or the word, he uses an alternative word, lift for us, which means towards, and he says that what the Pasuk really means is sivavunu, they surrounding us, lifa us, asherenu, towards our footsteps. You see, the pasuk is a bit, literally, asherenu asosivavunu, our footsteps, now they surround us. Well, that's a little bit of shorthand. What it really means is, they surround us now towards our footsteps, or directed at our footsteps, because that's really what it means. So the Ibn Ezra points out that the pshat in the pasuk is you really need to insert an extra word to make the pasuk make sense to us, and the word would be either in, with our footsteps they surround us, i.e. they're surrounding us, watching our footsteps, or he uses the alternative word lifa us, lamad fei alaf sof, lifa us towards our footsteps.
Two questions: why our footsteps? Why not just our enemies surround us? What's the business with the footsteps? And secondly, there's a link to Asherenu,
footsteps, yeah.
Yeah, the Asherenu, the word, anyway, it seems like a strange word.
I also thought it was a strange word, but, surprise, surprise, about 1,000 years ago, we learnt Pasuk Hay of this chapter, yeah? And if you just go back to Pasuk Hey, you haven't got the numbers there, it says Tomuch Ashurai Bamaglosecho. Tomuch Ashurai Bamaglosecho, where David says, straighten my, or support my footsteps, Bamaglosecho, within your circles, i.e. within your area, I don't want to leave the domain of the Torah. Yeah? So that word Ashurai is there in meaning footsteps. But it's a strange word in as much as we don't come across it often, but it does mean footsteps.
Maybe it means something positive, something happy.
Oh, because of Ashrei?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
Because it's so similar, the word is so similar.
Yeah, but I haven't seen that. You need to find a connection.
I'm thinking it must mean something positive. It must be positive footsteps. If there is a connection, it could be that it's something positive rather than something where people are negative and scared.
I can't prove you right and I can't prove you wrong. In this case, there's nothing positive, nothing negative about our footsteps. The only negative thing here is that the enemies are watching us carefully. That's the negativity in the pasuk. The enemies are keeping a close eye on us, and David phrases it, they're watching our footsteps.
Well, surely the pshat must be that we're going somewhere. Klal Yisrael is heading in the right direction. With our footsteps. Why otherwise would it be saying footsteps?
It might just mean the army manoeuvres in Rabbas Bnei Amun.
Oh, it really
might be that, yeah. Okay. Well, that's how Rashi learns it. So the enemies are watching the army, waiting for their chance to attack. Yeah. I don't know the connection with the word Ashrei. Yeah. Okay, Ashrei Natsos Avun. Right. The Radak. Ah, yes. Oh, this is very interesting. The Radak points out that the word Asherenu in our Pasuk has a dogish in the shin. However, going back to Pasuk Hey in this chapter, Tomoch Ashurai, same sort of word, our footsteps, no dogish in that shin. Is it printed correctly? Is it printed like that in your Siddur Mitzvah? Yeah, absolutely. Ashurai in Pasuk Hey has no dogish in the shin, and Asherenu in our Pasuk does have a dogish in the shin. He doesn't explain why. Pardon?
The conjugation of the vowel.
Yeah. Which vowel?
The U vowel. You got this. It's the instead of the.
The kubut. I've got three dots. Kubut on the bone.
No, it's in the in this version, the first one.
Yeah. It's above.
It's above.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm a bit disappointed with that because I don't think that is correct.
Right,
I don't think that's correct. I'm very upset to hear that. Okay, maybe I'll send an email to Art Scroll because I think that is actually wrong. I think neither of them has got a shuruk vav. They both got a kubutz on the shin. Yeah. Okay. So the question is, of course, why is it like that? Why is one got a dogish? Why does one not have a dogish? And I don't have a full answer, but I've got a partial answer. And the partial answer is brought in the Sefer the Mossad Rav Kook on Tehillim. I suspected I knew the answer, and Yeah, and I think he brings this answer. Either he brings it or I realized it myself. I'm actually not sure which. Whether there's a dogish in the shin or not hinges on the vowel under the aleph just preceding it. Now, the aleph in our pasuk, Ashurenu, has a patach, while the aleph in pasuk Hey of Ashurai has a chataf patach. Now, chataf patach is considered a weak vowel. It's almost, it's generally considered very much, very similar to a shavo. A chataf vowel, there are three chataf vowels, chataf patach, chataf komot, and chataf segol. And they are very often attracted to the guttural letters, aleph, hey, ches, ayin, and resh, which are the letters, the five letters, which don't take a dogesh. So they're very unusual letters. Aleph, hey, ches, ayin, and resh are five letters which don't take a dogesh. They're called osius agoron, or in English they're often called guttural letters. They don't take a dogesh. And a chataf vowel is either chataf patach or chataf komos or chataf segel are often connected with a guttural letter, either an aleph, hey, ches, or an ayin, or a resh. Well, the one in pasuk hey, Ashurai, chataf patach on the aleph, and no dogesh in the shin. The patach in pasuk yud aleph, patach on the aleph, and yes, with a dogish in the shin. So, how does that work? A patach vowel will often schlep a dogish into the next letter. They call a patach vowel a short vowel. I get a bit confused in short, what they call short vowels and long vowels. There are, I'll say it to you in briefly, and I'm saying this and I'll be mukdim that Mr. Clive Fearstone, who's a Bocky in Tanakh, who taught me a lot of dikduk when I was a teenager, disagrees with what I'm about to say. But yeah, so, and I'm mechabit him with my Rebbe in dikduk. Well, he's my Rebbe in a tremendous amount of dikduk, but what I'm about to say, he disagrees with this, at least I think he disagrees with this, but I have heard this from other sources, and I can't remember where. Vowels, the nekudas, come in two groups, they call them short vowels and long vowels. Now, a short vowel, and as far as I understand, short vowels have parallel long vowels, and a short vowel, each short vowel will have a parallel long vowel as its older brother sort of thing, yeah? And the short vowels will often pull a dogish into the next letter, while a long vowel does not. So, a chirik is a short vowel, and its parallel will be a tsere. So, for example, you do find that a chirik and a tsere are occasionally interchangeable. I'm trying to think of a... For example, you'll have take a PL form like Kir Bail, Deer Bear, Sheer Bear, and so on, Chizek, Kizave, all these sorts of words. There is a chirik under the first letter of the root, kibel, chirik under the kuf, with a dogish in the next letter. Now, the PL takes a dogish in the second root letter. But the fact is that the first root letter in that form often takes a chirik. So the chirik, short vowel, will schlep a dogish into the next letter. Whereas, if the second root letter is a guttural, and it will not take a dogish, like the take a sherish, like base resh chof, to bless. So the middle root letter is a resh. A resh is a guttural letter which does not take a dogish. You get a vowel change, and instead of it being bireich, it's beireich, he blessed. It's beireich. So, and they both belong to the same PL pattern, but the normal form would have a chirik under the first root letter, like kibbeil, chizek, shiber, Diber, chirik under the first root letter. If the second root letter is a guttural and it cannot take a dogish, which it normally would, then the first root letter takes a tere, beireich. Yeah? You with me? Is it too technical? You with me? It's a bit technical. Okay? Okay, so it's quite technical. Alright? So the fact is. I could do it in the backboard actually. But the point is that the chirik vowel will often schlep a dogish into the next letter, and its older brother, the Tsere vowel, A, is a long vowel and will drop the dogish from the next letter. A patach. Why? I don't know.
So because it's R, know. It's dragged a dogish.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Yes. Is a
so the R, the patach vowel, patach, the straight line, the patach, is a short vowel and will often schlep a dogish into the next letter. For example, Shabbos. Think about Shabbos.
Yeah.
Right? Shabbos. Yeah, it's a base, not a vase.
Ah, yeah.
And a base is a vase with a dogish.
Shabbos. Almost.
Same word. Shabbos. Shabbos. No? Yeah, Shabbos or Shabbos. Yes. Yeah, you find both words. Dogish in the next letter.
The base, the dogish.
That's right. And it's the patach under the shin that has schlepped the dogish into the next letter. Ganov. A thief. Ganov. There's a patach under the gimel, which is a short vowel, and there's a dogish in the nun. I don't know why they call them short, I don't call them long. I tell you, a man to speak to on this would be Sholem Siegel, who's an expert on just about everything, including this, yeah? So, or Clive Fairstone, who disagrees with a lot of this, but I have seen this in some Sfarim, that the patach vowel is a short vowel, and will schlep a dogish into the next letter, very often. The older brother of the patach vowel, the short vowel that corresponds to the patach, is a komotz. It's a komotz. Yeah? Oh. It's about a week. Could be a weak vowel. Yes, okay, call it weak. If there's a komotz under a letter, it will drop the dogish from the next letter. So the patach, being a short vowel, schleps the dogish into the next letter, while the komotz drops the dogish in the next letter. Likewise, a kubutz, the three dots kubutz, are a short vowel, whereas the parallel of that would be a shuruk vav. Exactly that. You mentioned you've got a shuruk vav there, right? The shuruk vav, which has the same sound as the kubutz, ooh, will drop the dogish from the next letter. The kubutz will schlep a dogish into the next letter. So, for example, you have a word like segula. Yes. Now, the word segula, treasure, is spelt in two different ways, and they're both valid spellings.
Yisro, we just said, didn't we?
Is it in segula? Yes, can't remember. Yes, could be.
Isn't segula mikol ha'amim?
Oh, very good. Oh. Yeah. Gosh, Shkech, okay. So, Vizavi Segula, Vizavi Segula. Yes. Now, that word Segula can be spelt in two alternative ways. Mm. Either with a kubutz, the three dots under the gimel, which in turn schlep a dogish into the lamed, which is the next letter, or with a shuruk vav, a vav with a dot in the middle of it, instead of the kubutz, and that's a long vowel. In which case, it will drop the dogish in the lamed.
The kubutz with segula, with the gimel, is the three dots underneath.
The kubutz is the three dots, yeah, and the shuruk vav, or the mlupa,
dogish into the vav.
The three dots schlep the dogish into the lamed, segula, there will be no vav there. If you've got three dots under the gimel, the kubutz under the gimel, then you won't have the shuruk vav. Yeah,
it goes away.
It goes straight into the lamed, which then will take a dogish. Yeah. Whereas if instead of having a kubutz under the gimel, you have a shuruk vav, the vav with a dot in the middle after the
gimel.
After the gimel, thank you. Then there will not be a dogish in the lamed.
That's consistent with another dictum, because we know that when there's a missing chas there, then that's why you put a dogish in. When there's a missing vav, so the vav goes missing, and then you put a dagesh to denote that it's missing.
I wish I could agree with you, Jonathan. Halavai, I could agree with you, because you're right. If a letter goes missing, you put a dogesh in the next letter.
Yeah.
But, halavai, I could agree with you, but I can't, and I'll tell you why. There are four letters in the alephase, which when they go missing, we do not replace them with a dogesh. And the four letters are Aleph, He, Vav, and Yud.
Yeah.
And they are considered weak letters. An easy way of remembering them, I always remember that using the word Vahi, as in Vahi Sha'omza. Vav, He, Yud, Aleph, right?
Yeah.
So those four letters, if any of those go missing, we do not replace them with a dogish. They're weak letters. And Aleph is a weak letter, it has no sound. The He is a weak letter because it's just a bit of air. It's not a real consonant, it's just an air. Just a sound, so it's not the proper doesn't have a, it's not a strong letter, it's not strong enough that if it goes missing, we do not, it's not that if it were to go missing, that we would replace it with the dog H. Mm-hmm. If those four letters go missing, we do not replace them with the dog H. Now, I suspected this, but I never saw it until some years ago. We were in Paris. And in the shul, in the Ashkenazi shul, I have to tell you, it's a gorgeous story. The Ashkenazi shul in Paris, they call it the Rashi shul, it's in Rue Cadet, in arrondissement Neuf. You've been there?
Yeah, I've been there.
Now, outside the davening area, in the vestibule, do you remember there are shelves and shelves and shelves of old, old Sforim? Do you remember seeing them?
Yeah.
Most of them are pre-war. I mean, heaven knows what the Nazis did in the war, but somehow that shul seems to have survived, or at least that Sforim survived. Yeah, and these are old, old Sforim. And
when
they're really old, old Sforim. My son Yaakov Chaim could probably live in that room. So when we were there, I just pulled a sefer out at random to have a look at it. It was just like you could spend. You can live there. Yeah, I pulled the sefer out at random, and it was a Dikduk sefer. And this point about the Aleph, Hey, Vav, and Yud, that if those letters go missing, you do not replace them with the Dogesh, is brought in that sefer. I do not remember the name of the sefer, but it's probably quite a well-known grammatical thing.
It does do that.
Yes, but not because there's a missing Vav.
Yes.
It's because the Gimel in Segula would take a, has a kubitz. It's not because the Vav has gone missing. That Vav is not even a proper letter in the word Segula. It's a vowel. It's really in place of a kubutz. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Lemoshe, let's all take an example, like the word Arucha. Right? The word Arucha, which means long.
Length.
Length, yeah, long, yeah. The word Arucha is sometimes spelled with a Vav, and sometimes spelled without a Vav. When it's spelled with a Vav, it's Arucha, with a Chof. When it's spelled without a vav, then the resh has a kubutz, the three dots, and then the chof takes a dogesh and becomes a kof, and the word is aruka. So you can actually hear the difference. That's what some people say chaim aruchim, and some say chaim arukim. It's the same word, same thing.
Yeah.
Depends how you're spelling it. But when you say it...
Is it really interchangeable?
Yes.
It really is both correct.
They both are correct.
Really?
Yes.
Well,
trust me, I'm a doctor. No, trust me, it really is, they're interchangeable. Yeah?
Yeah?
That's why I'm upset that they put that Vav into your copy of Ashurenu or Ashurai.
Maybe these are interchangeable as
well. It's interchangeable, but we have a Masorah as to how a word should be written. They're interchangeable in that they have the same meaning.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a. The way it should be spelled. Maybe there's a different gerisot. It's true, some words do have different gerisots how to spell them.
What did you see in the safe in France? The Aleph, Vav, and the Hay.
And the Yud.
And the Yud. Aleph, Vav, Hay, and Yud.
Are considered weak letters, such that if they were to go missing, you would not replace it with a dog H.
Ah, right.
Okay. I'll give you an example. I'll give you an easy example.
It's so weak, we just leave you alone.
Absolutely. Yeah. Here's a nice word. We're 3 months away from Pesach. Makos. Take the word makos, which means plagues.
Yeah.
Right? Now, the shoresh of the word makos is nun chof hei. Okay, which means to smite. There's a man called Paro Nechei. I believe he had a weak leg. Yeah, and he was smitten in his leg, I think. That's why he's called Paro Nechei. Yeah? Nun chof hei is the shoresh. Now the nun chof hei is the shoresh, and it means to smite.
Not the men,
the
nun.
Oh, no, not the men, the nun. Nun chof hei. Nun chof hei is the shoresh. Now, in a word like makos, what's the mem doing there? The mem is there. The mem is often added onto a shoresh to transform a shoresh from a verb into a noun. So nun chof hei is the verb. To smite. The noun, take it in the singular, makor, has a mem added as a prefix, because a mem will transform a shoresh, the addition of a mem as a prefix will transform a shoresh from a verb into a noun. Like, alef chaf lamed is to eat, ma'achol is a noun, it means food. Zayin veis ches means to slaughter. Mizbeach is an altar, is a noun. So you add a mem at the beginning of a shoresh to transform a shoresh from a verb into a noun. So you take the shoresh nun chof hei, and you add a mem at the beginning, and that transforms it into a noun. You get mako, a plague, or in the plural makos. Okay? It
makes it into a noun.
It makes it into a noun. Now the nun has dropped away. Now, when a nun is the first letter of a shoresh, it often drops away. I don't know why. It often drops away. And when it does drop away, the next letter takes a dogish. So you get a word like ma-ko.
Yeah,
not ma-cho, ma-ko.
There's a
dogish
in the
ko. Dogish in the ko, which makes it a ko. Yeah, it's a ko. Because the none of the root has gone missing. You're right with this, Louis. Quite tell me. I wasn't going to go down this route this morning, but okay. Yeah, the nun has dropped away, and therefore you get a dogish in the next letter to replace the missing nun.
Okay.
So far so good. Yeah. Also a word like Vayigash Elov Yehuda. The Shoresh is Nun Gimel Shin. Now sometimes the nun is there. Or Moshe Nigash El Ha'arofel. The nun is there. But the nun will often drop away. So you get a word like Vayigash Elov Yehuda. Where the nun is gone, there is a dogish in that Gimel. Okay, so far so good. Also, I have to throw this in, there happens to be a chirik under the yud of Vayigash. A short vowel, a yud, a chirik under the yud, and it schlepped a dogish into the gimel. But the main reason why there's a dogish in the gimel of Vayigash, the main reason is undoubtedly because the nun of the root is gone. So far so good?
Should be Nigash, should have been.
Yeah.
The nun went.
The nun is gone. Yes. There is a dogish in the gimel of Vayigash.
Yeah.
And like this. Exactly, a place to missing nun. Also, so let's come back to our word makos. You've got the mem added to make it into a noun. You've got the nun taken away because that's a known pattern that when a nun is the first letter of the shoresh, it will often disappear. And when it does disappear, we put a dogish in the next letter. So it becomes a kaf and not a chaf. You're right with this, Louis? The root is, the shoresh is nun chof hei, which is to smite. Nun chof hei. Yeah? E.g. paro nechei, right? Nun chafei. So the root is nun chafei, but the fact is that nun often drops away. Okay. Now come back to this word makos. No, let's take it in the.
Let's
take
in the chof of
makos. I want to take a different word. Let's take a word like makos. Let's take makos. All right, makos. Right. So there's a dog there. That's right. Thank you. To replace the missing nun, but the hay has also dropped out. Correct. The hay has also dropped out. What do we do about that missing hay? Nothing. The hay drops out. It's a weak letter. And it's gone, and we don't do anything about it. So there's no. So the dogish in the chaf is to replace the missing nun. But the hay at the end of the shoresh, nun chaf hay is the root. That hay is also gone. We don't do anything about that. Pardon? Yes, in a word like makor in the singular, you couldn't anyway. A, because it's the last letter of the word, and we tried to avoid the dogish in the last letter. But in any case, the last letter is a hay of mak. Makor's got a hay there. Sorry, take that one. Take a word like makos. Makos. There's no dogish in the vav. Mem kof vav sof. No dogish in the vav. It's a cholam vav. Right, a dot on top. All right, so take a word like Vayakem, he smote them. Vayakem, he smote them. There's no dogish in the mem. The hay has disappeared. Why don't we replace the missing hay? Because the hay is a weak letter and we don't replace it with the dogish. There's another reason in that word like Vayakem, because in any case the mem is a final letter.
And also the mem is not to do with the conjugation, the mem, is just the suffix.
Correct. But that's not the point. That's not the point. If a letter goes missing, we generally put a dogish in the next letter. Take a word like, there's a word which came across recently, the last pasuk of the first chapter of Yonah, it says, Vayidru Nadorim. The sailors took Nadorim. Vayidru Nadorim. A beautiful example. Vayidru Nadorim. The word is really Vayidru Nadorim. Now, they promised promises. The sailors on the boat of Yonah, they made promises. The sailors made promises. Now, in the word Nadorim, they made promises. What their promise was of Machlik
Sushanim.
They became Gairim. Yes. Imagine they became Gairim. Yeah, absolutely. They promised they would become, Rashi says, they promised Sheyis Gairim. They promised they would become Gairim.
And they did nothing.
And they did, yes. So, now, in the word Nadorim, you've got the root Nun Dalad Resh. The Nun is there. But in the word Vayidaru, the Nun is gone. There's a Dogish and a Dalad. Which is why I'm reading it as Vayidaru, because the Shavo under the Dalad is sounded because there's a Dogish inside that Dalad. So it's Vayidaru Nadorim. It's this whole world in itself.
The Dogish gives it emphasis.
Right? Absolutely. The word Dogish means emphasis.
But does it?
It does. Ladgish. In Ivrit as well, ladgish.
Really?
Yes. To emphasize. Yeah.
Yeah.
So long and short of it is. The long and short of it. Okay. Now, the long and short of it is that short vowels will often pull a dogish into the next letter. Long vowels will not. Short vowel, chirik, schleps the dogish into the next letter. Its parallel vowel, the tseire, does not. A short vowel, patach, will often schlep a dogish into the next letter. Its parallel vowel, the komots, does not. A kubutz vowel, short vowel, will often pull a dogish into the next letter. Its parallel is a shuruk vav, and it's not a dogish in the next letter.
Are we meant to say the shuruk vav longer? Are we meant to say it longer?
I don't know. Ask Shalom. Shalom will know. Ashalom or Mrs. Cooper. They're both experts in these things. I actually don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
You won't pull up the
Valkyrie. Oh, gosh, no. I wouldn't know. It's such a... It's imperceptible. Yeah. Okay. Right. So where are we? Let me give you a beautiful example. I have to give you an example on this. If you have in Tehillim, chapter Kuf Dalet, Pasuk Lamed Hey, it's the end of Baruch Nafshi. Kuf Dalet, here we are. Kuf Dalet, Pasuk Lamed Hey, right at the end of Baruch Nafshi, Pasuk says, Yitamu Chatoim Min Ha'aretz. That's it. I was listening to that Nigan a few weeks ago. Yitamu Chatoim Min Ha'aretz. Sinners shall be finished from the land.
Yeah.
Now that word chatoim is spelt with a dogesh in the tes. Why? Because the word means sinners, and there is a patach under the ches. Right? Chatoim, patach under the ches, dogesh in the next letter in the tes. Okay? So far so good? Now there's another word, and that word means sinners. But there is a totally different word which sounds the same. Chato'im. And that, you'll find that word, you'll find it in Koheles, it's chapter Yud, Posuk Dalad, where the Posuk says, Ki marpe yaniach chato'im gedolim. And it means, if a person suffers punishments by Kodesh Baruch Hu, marpe, that will then give a refuah, and it will have a healing quality, yaniach chatoim gedolim, and it can put to rest big sins. So you've got these two words, chatoim, which means sinners, and chatoim, which means sins. They are different words. They sound the same. They are different words. In Yitamu chatoim min ha'aretz, sinners shall be finished from the land. That word chatoim has a patach under the ches and a dogish in the tes. While this word, yaniach chatoim gedolim, does not mean sinners, it means sins. And it's spelt with a chataf patach under the ches and no dogish in the tes.
And the two dots,
yes. That's the chataf patach under the ches, which is a weak vowel. I think you said it before. It's a weak vowel, yeah? And it does not have a dogish in the next letter.
Because it's weak.
Because the weak vowel,
yeah.
Why isn't an I in a weak letter? Yeah. After the, like the Aleph, it has no sound. And the answer, almost certainly, and I'm not sure about this, is that there are some, we Ashkenazim pronounce an ayin like we pronounce an Aleph, i.e. no sound at all. The only sound that goes on a letter like that is the sound of the vowel. But there are some sectors of Klal Yisrael who will pronounce an ayin with a particular sound, and that's the ng sound. Which is how you get the, they'll pronounce the name like Ya'ankov. Sephardim or Temanim, I'm not sure. Ya'ankov. That's how you get the name Yanki. That's how some people, you know, like a diminutive form of Yaakov is Yanki. Well, you know, why Yanki? Why not Yaki? Yeah? Well, yeah, Yanki. Where does the ng sound come from? The answer is there are some. Minhagim to some traditions to pronounce the ayin as ng.
Yeah, Rabbi Roberts pronounces it as Yankov.
Really? Yankov.
Rabbi Roberts calls it Yankov.
Yeah. I don't think he's particularly
excited.
Yeah.
Tommy, no, Tommy, it's with a few.
Yeah. Come here, Lithuanian pronunciation. Yankov. Yeah, I haven't. I've discussed this with some of the Sephardi boys in our school, and they've confirmed it. That's how they read it. Yeah. Why is the vav a weak letter? Now the vav which drops out, which does not is not replaced, I think is usually not the vav with the v pronunciation, but a shurik vav or a cholon vav. I think because those are pretty much vowels, really. Yeah, they're like a vowel, either u for shurik vav or o for a cholon, or different minhagim how to pronounce these vowels. Yeah, is that right with that?
Yeah.
Yes.
They pronounce
Yaakov
as Yankov.
Yes.
Like a nun, Yankov.
Yankov, yeah. Hence the name Yankee. Yeah. Okay.
Let's clarify the Shavah. Are those all weak vowels when you put the Shavah next to another vowel? Are those vowels weak?
I think a Shavah is considered a weak vowel.
So when you make
I'm not sure. The three chatavals are all considered weak, yes. Yes, right.
Which means?
Yeah. You, for example, you don't find the accent on a chataf vowel. Right? There's a nigun on one of the, an old tape. Shalom, shalom, rav. Le'yavavi se'yosechot. You know this nigun? Shalom, shalom, Rav. Le'yachavi se'yosecha. And we have this joke at home. We sing it. Shalom, shalom, Rav. Put the accent on the chataf. Because that hey has a chataf patach underneath it. Le'ohave has a chataf patach under the hey. And that does not take an accent. But the way it's sung, le'yachavi se'yosecha, is not really right. They're putting the first beat of the bar, the strong beat, is on the chataf patach, which is not right. The chataf vowel does not take an accent. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Mm-hmm. In your choir, you're always, they're very particular, aren't they? They get the mil ram, mil el all correct, don't they?
Yeah,
generally, they're very good at it.
Yeah,
very good at it. Yeah. I think Stephen Glass also was very particular about it.
I have to say
Stephen, because I used to learn with him.
Yeah.
When they put the emphasis on the letters, you mean?
Yeah, to put it in the right place. Yeah. Nima Singers and they get it right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Quick plug for the Nima Singers. And that amazing CD. Right. Okay. Right, let's come back. So the Mossad Rav Kook, he points out, I think it's in there, Chatoim. Yeah, Yitamu Chatoim in the Oretz, Patach under the Ches, Dogish in the Tess. Marpei Yaniach Chatoim Gedolim in Keheles, Chata Patach under the Ches, no Dogish in the Tess. Okay? Good. All right. Wow. We really.
So it's cut off with the two dots.
Yes.
Then there's no doggish after.
Correct.
Correct.
That's it.
If it's a cut off, then there is a doggish after.
Just a patach means just a patach.
The one line.
Then
there's a doggish after.
Yeah, and that's
all rule.
Correct. And that is a pretty good general rule. And that's exactly what we've got here. Ashreinu in our pasuk with a patach on the aleph with a doggish in the shin. Tomoch Ashurai in Pasuk Hey, Chata Patoch on the Aleph, no doggish in the shin. Okay?
Can I make a suggestion for the logic to try and remember this? that normally in terms of the pattern of the word, you need the dogesh in for the extra emphasis. So therefore, if already the syllable before, the one with the dogesh, is already weak, because it's a weak vowel, it's going to cause the emphasis, more emphasis in the second syllable anyway. Therefore, you don't need the dogesh, because in any case, you're going to get the emphasis. Is that a reasonable
I don't know if that's correct or not. It might be right, I don't know. But if it helps you to remember it, then that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's technically right.
The second syllable is very quick and weak. Then in any case, the second syllable will have the emphasis naturally.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's correct. It might be right. I actually don't know. But if it helps you to remember, any simon that helps you to remember, it can't be bad. Yeah? Okay, so now the Radak points out, back to the Radak. We got onto this from the Radak, who just points out that the shin of Ashurenu does have a dogesh. Okay? And then you've got this explanation as to why it takes that dogesh. Right, let's move on. Still in the Radak. Ashurenu atosuvavunu. They surround us and watch our footsteps. Now that word suvavunu is a cricative. Can you see it's got a yud at the end? It might not be printed like that in yours. It's actually it's a cricative.
Yeah,
you've got it like that. I'm not sure if it's probably not. No. Yeah. That's it. It's actually a cricative. That means it's written one way and read another way. That's it. That's right. So it's written samach veis vov nun yud. In fact, there's a yud there. Can I have a look here? Can you see? Can you see it's spelt with a yud at the end? But can you see the... That's actually... They put a dot inside the yud at the end. That's to show you it's meant to be read like a vav. Svavunu. Okay? Do you want to see that in mind? Yeah? So there are... Do you want to see it in mind, Jonathan? So you can see that it's up there. It's spelt with a yud at the end. The kasiv is svavuni, but the kri is svavunu. So there are that points out that the according to the kri... Savavunu, David is saying they are, our enemies are surrounding us, namely surrounding me and all my soldiers. Whereas the kasiv, Savavuni, surrounding me, is just, David is singling himself out, the enemies are after him in particular. Savavuni. So the Korean kasiv, okay?
Which one do we actually say?
We read, well, the kasiv is the way it's written, svavuni, with a yud, but we don't read it like that. And we read it svavunu. Can you see the print of a dot inside that yud?
Yeah.
That's to show you, and there's a note either at the side or at the bottom of the page, which shows you it's the kri is svavunu.
So could David be saying they surround me? Yeah. But we say, no, it's not just you, David, it's all of us.
Yeah, it comes to that. He's saying that they're surrounding all of us, but in particular me. Whenever there's a cricative, we try to understand not just the way we read it, but also the way it's written.
Targeting David.
Targeting David in particular. Yeah. The main pshat in the cricative, in every cricative, the main pshat is the kri, the way it's read. Yeah. The primary pshat in the cricative is the way the word is read, but there's always this background pshat of the way the word is written.
That's why the art school. Here, chooses to do it as the
Kree. Correct, because they're just doing it for people who are reading Tehillim. It's printed in there for people who are just reading
Tehillim. Just said in the news this week that the leader of Hezbollah is always hiding. Why? Because Israel will target him otherwise.
Oh, there you go. Similar thing. Good. Shkech. Okay. The Radak also points out Lintos, Enehem Yoshisu Lintos Boris, they put their eyes to spread out over the land. So the Radak points out, what's this idea of spreading over the land? It means spreading a net over the land, i.e. they're out to catch us. Yeah. What are they spreading? Their eyes are cast over the land. What are their eyes doing over the land? They're out to catch us, to spread a net over the land. Okay?
They have the opportunity, they'll get us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, the Minchas Shai points out, is a bit more dikduk for us all, that the word Ashurenu has a number of different alternative spellings. In our pasuk, it's spelled Al Shin Resh Nun Vov, but he points out, he says, Harbe Chilufim, there are loads of different options as to how to write this word Ashurenu. And he says, sometimes it's written with a Vov after the Shin, and sometimes it's written without a Vov after the Shin. Okay? And sometimes it's written with a yud after the resh, and sometimes it's written without a yud after the resh. It just points out, the Minchas Shai just points out, that there are alternative ways of spelling the same word.
Uh-huh.
Could have a vav after the shin, as opposed to the kubbutz. There you are. Yeah, we know all about that now. Yes, it would, but it just so happens, your bad luck, that although it's spelled with a kubbutz in our word, I've got a kubbutz under the shin, the next, and therefore it's a short vowel, and therefore you'll say to me, ha ha, so there should be a doggish in the next letter, which is a resh.
Yeah, exactly.
Because a resh is a guttural letter and doesn't take a doggish.
Therefore, they put it in the shin.
No.
It's in the shin.
Yeah, but not because of that. That's because of the patach under the aleph.
I see.
Okay. Not yet. You will be.
The patach under the aleph means
that the shin. It brings the doggish into the shin. And I will say once again.
The vav is missing.
Absolutely. Because you've got a kubbutz instead of the.
A kubbutz
instead of the vav. You could spell it with the shuk vav, you know, a vav with a dot.
The shin, the vav goes away.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I'll just say again, because I'm very much Mechabed Clive Fierstone, who's my Rebbe in Dikduk, that he does not go along with this, but others do. He doesn't go along with this whole idea of short vowels and long vowels. Okay.
He's not here now,
that's weird. No, but he knows more than I ever will. Right, this is Rid on this pasuk. You okay for time, John? You've got to go, don't worry. Right, this is Rid points out on this pasuk that Lintos Ba'aretz, the Einehem Yoshisu Lintos Ba'aretz, says to this is Rid, what are these enemies trying to do? He says they're trying to expand their own borders. They're trying to increase their own Lebensraum, they're trying to increase their own land.
Like today.
That's right. Yeah. And he says that the word lintos means to spread. Mm. He translates the word lintos not to cast their eyes all over the land, but lintos as to spread. And he quotes the Pasuk in Tehillim, back to chapter Kufdalad again, Bachinafshi, chapter Kufdalad, and this is in Pasuk base, where the Pasuk says, Ota Erkasalmo, Hashem clothes himself in light like a cloak, Note Shamayim Kayuriyah, he spreads out the heavens like a curtain. So Note is to spread out. So the Tisisrit says, what are these enemies trying to do? They're trying to spread out their own borders, i.e. expand their own borders. And so similar ideas brought in the Targum, and I'm not sure if I think this is what the Targum means as well, when the Targum says, Einehun Meshavon Lemifshat Ba'ara, Lemifshat, Poshet, can also mean to spread out. Right, poshet yod is to spread out a hand. Poshet yod lachotim. Hashem spreads out his hand to sinners. Poshet yod lashovim. Yeah, so to spread out. Yeah, the Tzitzit gives another pshat. He says that maybe the word lintos can also mean to knock a person over. I don't quite know where he gets that from, but he says einehem yoshisu. They place their eyes lintos. Ba'aretz, to knock people over in the land, i.e. to bring us down. That's how he translates it. That's how Tisrid translates it, to bring us down. The Alchemy Amnoi says
that the spread means to take occupation.
Take occupation, exactly. Yeah. Increase your own land.
Increase your land.
Yeah. To capture another country to have more land. Absolutely. Yeah. The Alchemy Amnoi says, Enehem Yoshisu Lintos Ba'aretz, he says that they place their eyes, they're watching us to see if we're going to run away from them. And if we do run away from them, then they will chase us. Now that's how the Alkut Melmose says it, and I'm wondering if that goes together with the next pasuk, because the next pasuk compares the enemies to lions. Dimyono ka'arie yichsof litchov. We'll come on to it. Their appearance is like a lion. Comparing enemies to lions. Now they say, I can't remember where I read this now. Yeah, I do know. I read this in a wildlife book, that if a lion charges a person, the best thing for a person to do, and I hope we're never in this such a situation, is to stand his ground, not to run away. The lion can outrun a human anyway, right? So running away is fairly futile. Yeah, but to stand one's ground and to make oneself appear as large and as impressive and fearful as possible, and that apparently can do the trick. I read this in a book on wildlife. Yeah. So the Alkama Moses is saying, "Emem Yoshisu Lintus Forest." They put their eyes on us to follow us, to watch us in the land, to see if we run away, because if we do run away, they will chase us. And that might well, he doesn't connect it to the next pasuk. I'm connecting that chapter to the next pasuk. Like a lion will give chase. If a person runs away from a lion, oh, the lion, that's exactly what the lion's good at, that chasing and getting his prey. Yeah? So, that's how the outcome is.
He's fine then. If once an animal recognizes a person as a sinner, he doesn't look upon him as a human anymore, he looks upon him as another animal.
Oh.
And if you stand your ground and look at a dog, for example, which we often come across,
yeah.
The stare at the dog,
yeah.
Is a human stare, and it's a Kodesh.
Yeah.
And you're looking at a person as a human being rather than as an animal. But as soon as you're run away, you're an animal.
The dog will move away. The dog will get scared of the human stare.
Yeah. So
it's
that. I don't know where I get this from, but it's certainly, it's certainly there.
Very interesting.
Easier said than done, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you have a emuna, and you stare at an animal, they shy away from you. So if you say you're going to the lion's country, when you're looking at him,
because we have
they feel
Hashem,
Hashem in the person.
Could we have the most Hashem in us?
You made the image of Hashem, and he's standing there, they're afraid not so much of you, they recognize there's something different about you.
Something different about a human, yeah, and it scares them off. It's interesting.
Rabbi Avram ben Ramoch, shkach for that. Rabbi Avram ben Ramoch on this pasuk translates the word Asherinu quite differently. He does not translate it as our footsteps. He quotes the pasuk in Parashas Balak, chapter Kaf Dalet, pasuk Yud Zayin, where Bilam says, "Ere'enu velo ata, I see him, but not now. Asherinu, I gaze upon him, velo korov, but not close."
Yeah.
What does it mean? So Rashi explains that Bilam was saying, I see Klal Yisrael will come to greatness. I'm looking at Klal Yisrael, I can see they're going to come to greatness, but not yet. And Roa Ani Shivcho Shel Yaakov Ugudoloso, I see the greatness of Yaakov and his praise. Ach, but lo atohi, it's not yet, not right now. Elalach hazman, it only comes later. And in fact, he goes on to refer to David HaMelech, that the true greatness in Klal Yisrael will come in the days of David. But the key word is Asherinu.
Yeah.
I see him. Asherinu. That's what Bilam said. Asherinu v'lo ato. I see him. Sorry, Asherinu v'lo korov. Erenu v'lo ato. Asherinu v'lo korov. So Asherinu means I see him. So the
Rabbah means in time of David HaMelech.
Not yet. He's saying not now, but I see the greatness of Klal Yisrael sometime in the future, particularly in the time of David.
And what's below Korah mean?
And not close. It's not soon. It's not soon. It's going to take a while.
A few centuries.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. It'll take a while. Yeah. Now the key word here is Asherinu, because and Rabbah Avram ben Ramoch connects our word Asherinu with that word Asherinu. And he says it's an expression of vision. It's an expression of vision. And he's saying that the enemies are watching us and they're looking at us in hatred. So Asherinu means they are looking at us. And Atar, now, so they surround us. So not like we learned earlier that the word Asherinu, not like we learned earlier, the word Asherinu means our footsteps.
Yeah.
Different shot. Asherinu, I gaze him.
Yeah?
Yeah. I gaze upon him.
It means they're gazing on us.
They're gazing upon us, that's right. And they're watching us and they're...
Different translation.
Absolutely. Different translation. Rabbi Avram ben Ramoch. Rabbi Avram ben Ramoch. Another page on him. Totally different shot on the word Asherinu. Asherinu.
I gaze at him.
Absolutely, yeah, I gaze at him.
The footsteps should be that tracking, the leading, the tendency where you were going.
Yeah.
So
it's a good connection.
It is.
You can watch a person by
their footsteps.
He gets it from a pasuk in Bolok, chapter Kaftalot, pasuk Yud Zayin, Ashurenu v'lo ato. Ashurenu, almost the word, Ashurenu v'lo ato. Bilam says, I can see Klal Yisrael, and I can see they're going to come to greatness, v'lo ato, but not just yet, not now.
There's a different word we use in the Rosh Hashanah
davening. Sure.
Never beats.
For what?
Gazing.
For gazing? Oh, Lahabit. Lahabit to stare. Yeah, two different words. Okay. Alright, so must say two different words to stare. I don't know what the difference when we would use one word and when we would use the other. Ashurenu. Sorry, I misread the pasuk a little bit. Erenu velo ato, Ashurenu velo korov. Okay?
Bilam said that.
I think you'll know it's better than I do in the pismon that we say in Slichas and in Ne'ilah, sure. Do you remember that word?
Yeah.
Sure. It's in the verse about in lanu ela hater hazos. You remember it? And it's got the word sure there, and I think it means to look, to gaze.
Yeah,
I think so.
Also, another word is used in the different word for looking and for looking, seeing out. Tur, yes,
to spy out. That's used mainly to spy, I think. Shlachacho, yeah, lost tur, sorry, to spy out the land, yes. Yeah. Must be loads of words. The Malbim went into all these different words.
The word touring in English.
Tourist. Very good, yeah. Excellent, yeah.
Probably comes from the Hebrew, I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm sure it does.
I'm sure it does, yeah. Yeah, okay. And he also points out that the Rabbi Avraham ben Ramoch goes on to say that they try to catch us, the enemies try to catch us, that's Ashurenu Atos Lovunu, they're surrounding us, they try to catch us, and when they don't manage to, then they go around the country setting traps to catch us. And that's why, and that's the second half of the pasuk, Einehem Yashisu Lintos Baret. They go around the country like sort of laying landmines, you know, trying to trap us, all different ways of catching us. So they spread out through the lands trying to catch us.
Like in Afghanistan today, you know, the British soldiers. Yeah. You know, these booby trap bombs, they kill them every so often. It's similar, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the point is what's happening politically to Israel. How the people are trying to delegitimize Israel.
Yeah.
And all the things they're saying that the Jews are racist and they're ethnic cleansing, all these clever political arguments.
Yeah.
They can't beat them in battle. So now they're going on to the political arena and going doing the rounds. It's the same.
Different ways we're trying to eradicate you.
They can't beat you, so they try and trap you.
Politically.
I've got two more small things to say on this pasuk. I thought we'd do the next pasuk as well, but I think we'll probably call it a day after this. Two more things on this pasuk. Rav Shem Shon Fel Hirsch points out, he defines this word lintos. Einehem Yoshisu, they place their eyes, lintos ba'aretz, literally to spread out across the land. So he connects this to a pasuk in Tehillim, chapter Mem Dalad, pasuk Yudtes, where the pasuk says, Lo nosug achar libenu, our hearts did not retrogress, we didn't go back to bad ways, vatit ashurenu mini orchecha. Now, literally that means we turned, our gaze turned from your path. Vatit ashurenu, same word there, ashurenu, to gaze, right? Vatit ashurenu mini orchecha, our gaze turned from your path. That's a literal translation. However, the Mefarshim explain that pasuk begins with the word lo, negative, no. And the word lo applies to both halves of the pasuk. So now you have to understand the pasuk, lo nosoga cholebenu, our hearts did not turn back. In other words, we haven't turned away from you. And also, lo, negative, vatit hashirini mini orchecha, our gaze turned from your path. In other words, our gaze did not turn from your path. Okay? You with me? Mm-hmm. Yeah? So the word lo in that pasuk applies to both halves of the pasuk. Our gaze has not turned from your path. Now, the connection with our pasuk, says Rosh Hashem Fel Hirsch, is that A, it's got the word Ashurenu, like our pasuk. Mm-hmm. B, it's got the word Vatate, like our pasuk, has got Lintos, to turn. Okay? So, and they come from the same root. Vatate Ashurenu, we did not turn our gaze away from your path. So he says this expression of Atit Asherinu is all about religious observance. So therefore, says Rav Shimshon Fel Hirsch, when our pasuk says Einem Yoshisu Lintos Ba'aretz, they put their eyes on the land, Lintos, to spread out of the land, Lintos, connected with the word Asherinu, the two words together refer to trying to distract us from being from Yidden. Yeah, the enemies are trying their best to divert us away from Yiddishkeit. That's how he learns it. Yeah, interesting. Why? Because it's got Asherenu, because the connection with the other pasuk is Asherenu and Lintos. And the other pasuk in Mem Dalad, pasuk Yotes, has got Vatate, parallel to Lintos, and Asherenu, same word, Asherenu. Similar word, Asherenu. And there it's talking about turning away from the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saying that we have not turned away from the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it says, therefore, the Pshat in our pasuk is the enemies are doing their best to turn us away from the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how Shem Shem Fel Hirsch learns it. And one...
But we're saying positively.
Absolutely.
Like the idea that at the beginning of the year, Asherenu means it could mean positive steps. No?
Maybe. I didn't see this connection with Ashrei anywhere.
Okay.
Positive. I haven't seen it anywhere. It needs to be looked into. It could be this connection. I don't know.
It can't be a coincidence that...
Because it's got the same roots, same Aleph Shin Resh, yeah?
Yeah. The footsteps are like a tendency. The footsteps can go from your father's, follow your father's footsteps, or you can divert the footsteps to go in another direction.
Oh.
So it's you've got both ends, both extremes.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to get you away from the ways of your father to go in another direction with your footsteps.
Yeah.
Just they're watching. There must be in this case, if their enemies are watching our footsteps, it must be because they don't like our footsteps. They don't like the direction. They don't like the direction that we're going.
We're following our footsteps. They don't want that.
Yeah.
They try to divert us away from these ways. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Oh, that's how Rav Shimshon Fel Hirsch puts it. Yeah. One last thing on from the Masada of Cook, he points out that this word lintos, which means to spread out, he says it's where you're gazing over a wide area. Einehem yoshisu lintos ba'aretz, their eyes spread out over a wide area of the land. He said if you're looking at one particular point, and he calls it, he's got a nice question there, he calls it a kav ri'iyah, a line of vision. If you're looking at one item, so I'm looking at the cup, so I'm staring at the cup only, so I have a direct line of vision from my eyes to that cup and nothing else.
Yeah?
There's no diversion. Whereas lintos means spreading out over the whole land. He's just giving the explanation that with lintos, the enemies gaze at the whole land of Eretz Yisrael, looking for different ways to attack us, to chop it, or to attack, and so on. So that's lintos. He says it's a difference between looking at one particular object or looking over a wide area. Your eyes roaming, should we say, over a wide area. Okay, shall we leave it there?
Sure.
Good.